It's time for Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf is a regular podcast featuring newsmakers from the world of Wisconsin golf. And now, here's Rob Hernandez with this week's guest.
And we welcome you to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez here, joined by Adam Miller, one of our great amateur golfers in the state of Wisconsin, finished number four on the WSGA Player of the Year point standings last year. And Adam, it's a big day at the WSGA. It's the release of the 2026 schedule. I know that you've, had an idea where some of these tournaments were going. We knew already that West Bend Country Club would be hosting the Wisconsin State Amateur. But as you look at the 2026 schedule, what do you see as far as, how do you like it? What do you think of, as a whole, some of the venues that you'll be teeing it up at this year?
Well, first of all, Rob, thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on here. But in regards to the schedule, I mean, it's just another, great year that way. The WSGA really always just knocks it out of the park, being able to capture all the top venues across the state of Wisconsin, whether they be public or private. So having them there, being able to do what they do for the players that way, and allowing us to be able to play those courses is really special. And we appreciate that. So let me pull up the list here. So we've got a couple good ones. The Amateur is at West Bend Country Club, which is always a good track. Love to go back there and see what that's about. What do we got? The Four Ball at Eau Claire. It's been a while since I've played Eau Claire, so I'm going to need a refresher out there. But from what I remember in my junior years, I like that place a lot. What do we got? The State Mid-Am at Blackhawk Country Club. Always a fun one. A lot of opportunity on that course and a lot of despair. So you never know what you're going to get when you play Blackhawk. And what else do we got? We got the Two Man at Pine Hills.
Yep.
One of my favorite private clubs in Milwaukee. I think it ranks right up there with the Blue Mounds and the MCC. It's right. It's in that category. It can be talked about. So, going that way, they've got another good year set up for us.
Well, let's start with the State Amateur. It'll be the 125th playing of the State Am and it'll be played at West Bend. I believe it's only hosted the State Am once before this, but it's a Langford and Moreau course, similar to the golf courses at Lasonia, the Lynx course there. So, there's been a lot of stuff played at the Lynx course over the years. What makes a course like West Bend special? And like you said, I mean, you're going from the Lido, which is a new course on paper, but yet a recreation of an old course from Long Island, and now going to truly a classic course in the state of Wisconsin in West Bend.
Can you give me a refresher real quick? Has there been a recent event at West Bend? I'm kind of drawing a blank.
I don't think so, because I was looking at that when we wrote something. I wrote about the kind of the five things to watch, and mm-hmm. I have to go back. I'll while we're talking here, I'll call up the record book and just see what there was. I think there's been some senior stuff. I don't know if the mid am. I don't think the mid am has been there. And maybe a match play. I don't know. Let me take a look here. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it hasn't. And I believe the one time that the State Am was played there was kind of, I believe it was back in the Stricker JP Hayes era.
Okay. Yeah. See, I don't believe I can't. I'm trying to recall West Bend playing in an event out there. I can't say that I have, and it's been a while since I've played out there myself. But going back to your question, knowing about, kind of who Langford Moreau is, if it's going to be anything like Lasonia, they're going to have long, dramatic rolling hills to it. And a lot of like treacherous, friendly, safe play, go for the risk shot, type of situations there. And knowing who our director is, I can only imagine that we're going to be in for quite the fun pin spots and stuff like that. We'll be able to, test our mental and see, how to battle through for that for the 72 holes. But yeah.
The last thing there, Adam, was the 2019 state match play. Ben Schaefer beat Jake Schreckenthaler in the final that year. And I know I wasn't there covering. I think Gary might have been. And then the only state am that was ever there was 1986. JP Hayes shot 291 over 72 holes and beat Stricker, Steve Stricker, Alan Crist, who was a fine amateur out of Racine Country Club, and Steve Johnson out of Wozaukee Country Club by 2 shots. So you know, like you say, I mean, whenever we go to the classics, it seems as though no matter how long or short the scorecard says the course is, they find a way to make par a good score.
For sure, for sure. And it's nice to have West Bend be able to host some of these, with all the sponsorships that they go through
Right.
with the WSGA year in and year out. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. West Bend Insurance, a huge supporter of the WSGA. And I think that's why they made a point to get it back there for this 125th playing of the State Am. And I know it's not a WSGA event per se, but we should also talk briefly about the State Open going to Tuckaway Country Club. So pretty much everything that the two big majors for you guys will be in the Milwaukee area. Tuckaway, longtime host of the Greater Milwaukee Open,
Yep.
in a way a classic course. I can't wait to go back there because I covered GMOs there back when I first started covering golf. And it was back then a fairly new course, but like all the new courses from that era that you were born in, I started covering golf in, trees grow, courses mature, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot more, a lot different than it was back when they played a PGA Tour event there.
Yeah, for sure. And it'll be a refresher for a lot of players as well, myself included. This year will be a year of refreshers. There'll be a lot of courses on the list that I haven't seen since, the junior years that way. Tuckaway, one of them included. So, yeah, I mean, but with the trees growing and everything versus the times that you've seen it, I mean, sight lines are probably different, approaches into the greens, whether they have overhang in them, trees do. But yeah, so. So a lot of differences you'll see throughout the years with that way.
Absolutely. As we kind of go chronologically from there, the first big one, you mentioned the four ball at Eau Claire Golf and Country Club, and then we go to the state match play, going to be played at Hidden Glen at Bentdale Farms in Cedarburg. That had a U.S., what was it, a U.S. Am qualifier a couple of years ago, I think it was. And at 36 holes back then, they've split that up. I remember Gary covered that one, and I went out there to just he I was dropping something off for him. It was a hot, muggy day, and 36 holes on that course. Everybody that came by us as we were sitting there outside the clubhouse looked like they were just exhausted. It's a tough venue, but match play. I don't know how much you've played it at Hidden Glen, but I mean, what's that going to be like?
It's gonna be the one thing that I like about the match play course setups is that they're always a little more gettable in that regard. You're looking to kind of fuel the players against each other with birdies, rather than bogeys. So, I expect that to go in that kind of same regard. A little shorter potentially versus like a state am or a state open, that sort of thing. Risk reward, drivable fours. I'm definitely sure that you can set up a hole or two out there that'll be within that capability. So yeah, match play is always a good event. And yeah, I can't remember if I've even played in the USAM qualifier out there back when it was. But yeah, back in those days, that was a long day, 36 holes, middle of the heat. And yeah, you're mentally battling by the end of it for sure.
And then there'll be a lot of stuff in the middle of the summer that won't necessarily be under the WSGA umbrella. Obviously, the Ray Fisher State Amateur Tournament is always a favorite. The Balance and Believe Invitational this year probably has a bit more importance because for you it'll be a chance to play Black Hawk before the title defense at the Mid-Am. What as you look at, and I think Dairyland Open is one that's a favorite for a lot of people. Beyond the WSGA schedule, how do you, kind of, mix and match when you can play, when you want to play, what events, do you make sure that you try to get on your schedule?
Well, I'm a bit of a junkie when it comes to tournament golf. So I really just enjoy being in that aspect, in that moment and pushing yourself to see what you can do in those situations. With that being said, I'm fortunate with the ability to have a job as flexible as it is, so I'm able to take the days off when needed to play those events. And so I generally like to sign up for a majority of the tournaments because I look at it as you want to be enjoying yourself while you're living your life. So that way, I like to play golf tournaments that way. But yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, for those that don't know, Adam, a caddy at Sand Valley Golf Resort, all those great courses up there. You're getting another one this year too, right? Isn't there another one opening?
Yeah, number six, the Commons,
The Commons.
the full size course, but 12 holes. It's got par three, four, and five to fives to it, and it's a great afternoon course. I think we're gonna see a lot of excitement from the, excuse me, from the guests there,
Sure.
especially from some of the older guests. You get in the middle of June, July, August, and it gets a little hot. And walking courses for guys that, are coming cross country, but they may not typically walk very often. So to be able to have an option to have a 12-hole course, whether that be the one round of the day or that be the second round of the day, is going to add. It's going to be a lot better for the fuel tanks for those players. So they're going to be able to get through that a little bit better, and hopefully by the end, they're a little bit, more refreshed and able to, finish out their day and not just hit the snooze button. So,
Absolutely. And we'll talk more about the Lido in a second too, because I know it's a big year there as well. Your title defense at the Mid-Am at Blackhawk Country Club, you referenced it a little bit earlier. It's a course that you can, it seems like it's always there to be got. It's just a matter of how tough the setup is. How does a Mid-Am compare to a State Am in that regard? And what do you expect in terms of setup and in terms of what you would have to do to win that tournament again over at Blackhawk?
Blackhawk is, I mean, I've played that course numerous times throughout the years, played in the Balance and Believe a couple times, and I even go back to saying we had a match play there
Right.
back in the late teens, state junior there even back when I was a junior. And it's doesn't matter how many times you play that course. It's a course that requires demanding golf shots all throughout the round, whether those golf shots be on the tee box trying to hit a par four in one. But yeah, I mean, with it being as tree lined as it is, it's always funny to get around like the second and the 11th hole because it's just nonstop 4-12, four number three, all around, or 4-2 and 4-11. And but yeah, so it's you got to keep your head on a swivel that way. But it just goes to show that a course that's not long, similar to Lake Wisconsin for the Dairyland. I mean, they are some of the shorter courses on our venue this year. But a couple under par is going to net you a pretty decent score, a lot of the times. So
We've seen through the years too that that finishing stretch at Blackhawk, a 3-4-3 finish, but the slanted fairway on 17, that par four can really decide golf tournaments along the road, and then the green on 18, that par three can cost people tournaments too.
for sure, for sure. Yeah, you unless you've played that course a handful of times, those ending holes, you just got to know how to play them smart. Like, I mean, 18 is a par three, with a strong green back to front, and over the years you've learned to kind of like control that shot, with the spin to it, coming into that green versus kind of going with your standard approach. I've dabbled on 17, just hitting iron off the tee and accepting a four. If you make a putt for three, great. But I mean, you get that place firm and fast, a hole like that in particular, you can hit what you think is a great shot, and it turns out to not, you're heading back to the tee box. So
Sure. Also part of today's announcement of the WSGA schedule, the USGA qualifying schedule released. The first qualifier that the WSGA will host for the USGA will be at North Shore Country Club on May 5th. It'll be the US Open local qualifier. And then there's a senior open final qualifier at the Legend at Bergamon, the two junior qualifiers at the Oaks in Cottage Grove, and then the US Am qualifier at Watertown. Will you play US Open local and I assume US Am is a given too though, right?
correct. Yeah. And what North Shore are we talking about
We're
with,
talking Mequon for that one.
is the Mequon one? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I will be, looking to play in those events, again, coming up in the spring, the USAM and the US Open, both.
The big one though, Adam, I wanted to ask you about is the Mid-Am.
Met him.
You had a chance to plan it out here last fall, and it's coming to the Lido, and they've got two qualifying sites this year: August 11th at the Legend at Merrill Hills, and August 26th at the Pines Course at Lake Arrowhead. First of all, what was the experience like playing in that event, and what will it be like going, that event being held at the Lido?
It's surreal. Anytime you're able to qualify for a USGA event, you not only look at it as a golf tournament, but as some of like a vacation to get away. Whether it, vacation, you're still focused and you're still, working in your head. You want to play golf to your level that you can. Being able to be out there last year at Troon Country Club and the year prior at Kinloch was an amazing experience. And I am excited to see what Lido has in store for the players. I think the State Am this year kind of showed a test that it's not as much of a pushover as some may have thought it could have been, especially if you can get those wins going with it, because it
Right.
is crucial in needing those wins to really put a fully tricked up golf course out there. But even without the wins, the scores at the State Am were, there was an outlier or two. But for the most part, it still held its teeth pretty good that way. Excuse me.
The US Mid-Am this year at Lido, September 26th through October 1st, potentially for you a conflict with the state two-man team, but it'll be one that you would welcome. I'm a little bit surprised. I'm sure there's a story behind why the two-man is opposite the mid-am, but the US mid-am. But again, if you qualify for something like that, it's you're in a select company. But the US mid-am starting September 26, going to the first day of October, a little bit later than it was out here in Arizona. I mean, the Lido at that time of year, as we creep towards October, I have to imagine it can get cool and it can get firmer. Is that right?
100%. My favorite time as a caddy when I'm caddying at Sand Valley and Lido is the September, October months, because it gets a little firmer. You're able to cut the grass a little tighter, due to not worrying about heat exposure that way.
Sure.
And yeah, well, the ground will firm up a little bit, and the players that I have will even notice it themselves. I'll have guys who I'll caddy for maybe in one of the early summer months, and then they'll come back out in the peak season during September, and they recognize that difference right away. And yeah, it will. I think it's the perfect time for that golf course to showcase what it has, because I don't think the heat necessarily is needed to showcase it. I think that yeah, if you can get that about as brown as you can and get that thing firm, and guys are cussing under their breath, why didn't that check at all, or something along that lines, But yeah, I think it's super excited about seeing what Lido has to offer for those players. I think that, there's a chance that they could have that set up even more demanding than the way that we had it set up at Sand Valley. So for the State Am.
Where do you expect to try to qualify? Would you do the Merrill Hills or the Lake Arrowhead? Probably Lake Arrowhead, because that's one that you must play a little bit.
Well, for sure. The Lake Arrowhead is my home course. I'm actually pretty torn at this moment. Lake Arrowhead being one of my home courses, the Pines being one of the home courses. I know that course very well throughout the years. It's a golf course that I think closes the skill level gap a little bit,
Sure.
because it's not as long and it's not as demanding that way. So if you can get off the tee, you don't need to be a bomber. And I think it has an opportunity for guys who are not quite at the same level to have a better day. Now, on the flip side of it, Merrill Hills is a very demanding golf course. We experienced that with the State Am
Yeah.
2 years ago. And to go with that, I was able to qualify in what was that, 24 at Kinloch for the Mid-Am out of Merrill Hills. So I've got good history there as well.
Sure.
So at this moment, I'm still a little bit up in the air on where I want to go with it. I'd love to, I'm going to ponder that a little bit and see where I fall. But Yeah, they're both good courses, and there's really no bad option there. So at the end of the day, you really just got to show up and be able to hit the golf ball. You know, that'll tell the tale.
And if it works out that you are playing the two-man team, you mentioned Pine Hills and Sheboygan. It's a course that's hosted state AMs and state opens. And the two-man is you experience, it's a different different beast. It's team golf. I like team golf. I like watching you guys play team golf because I like to see how you go about selecting partners. And I mean, there must be some thought that goes into who you pair with to be able to play in that. It was at what was it, Meadowbrook last year, and that's a fun course, and you and Travis played well. I know Travis is talking about scaling back this year. So what's that gonna be like?
Well, he's got a full house type of family with welcoming, I think it was his fourth child, into the fray. So yeah, I can definitely feel for him in that regards. It's going to be a hectic household that way. And you know, there was never really any pre-planned thing that way. Travis and I roomed together when we played at Troon for the Mid-Am,
All right.
and we built a little relationship that way. We got an Airbnb together and spent that week out there. And then, yeah, I wasn't even planning on playing the two man last year. And he called me up and is like, "Hey, you know, there's a spot available. You want to check it out?" And I was like, "Yeah, why not? I'm a junkie. I'll play more golf if I got the opportunity." So, went with that. And yeah, but you know, for us to be able to complement each other the way we did and be able to take that home, I'm hopeful that, you know, we'll be able to, you know, take another shot at that, you know, albeit, you know, if one of us is in the mid-am, you know, it's greener pastures that way anyways, right? So
Absolutely, absolutely, and busy times, and it's hard in Wisconsin to find the room to pack all of it in. I'm impressed at what the WSGA did. We've talked about the championships, but a couple things jumped out to me in the qualifying sites. I know you don't have to worry about that, but they've added this year. There's a qualifying site up at Trout Lake Golf Club in Woodruff. They just renovated. It's in fabulous shape. I got to play it last summer. I'm excited about that. They're going to a classic in Lake Ripley Country Club. Have you ever played Lake Ripley in Cambridge?
that was a conference course for me
That's
growing up.
right. Yes.
So I've seen that one a couple times. I always mix Cambridge and the other one that was with the conference. Is that a nine or is that the 18 hole?
That's the 18 hole.
That
You might
is
have
the
gone to
18.
Columbus Country Club at the nine hole.
Might have been, yeah, I think it's this one. Cambridge, no, that's a good track as well. That's the thing about Wisconsin is that it's, you know, I could give you a list of 20 golf courses and it really doesn't even scratch the surface, you
Now
know.
you're the one tournament you're too old for, the Junior Boys Championship. When I saw this the schedule sitting in our database last night, and saw where they're going with that, the club at Lac La Belle. I
Oh,
mean,
wow.
my goodness. I mean, that is going to be one of the more
Yes.
epic locations to host the state junior championship.
For sure, and a great test for them as well. That course, depending on how you set it up, I mean, it has the ability to have length to it, and quite demanding with a lot of the golf shots, especially you get on the back nine out there, and the risk reward is good. But the first five holes out there are very demanding that way with the length, and then the back nine is a little more precision golf, but it never lets up for that. That's for sure. I know we have an event out there coming up soon, correct?
Yes, I believe there might be State Am or State Open going there.
State Am out there.
So that will be a neat and they do that a lot with courses that renovate or the newer courses. They might take an event like the Junior just to kind of test it out and see what it's like and see what they how it might project for the adults.
I remember a fun tidbit when we were playing the four ball out there a couple of years ago. We were playing in one of the matches, and Jeff had moved the tee box on hole three to the backmost tips, which would be behind two's green. And we had a small face wind, and my partner Zach and I, along with our two competitors of that round, we all hit four really good drives. And I think the farthest ball would have been about maybe 15 yards at this. past the start of the fairway. And Jeff's
Wow.
following along and he rolls up. He's like, well, I guess I can't use that tee for the stay down. He's like, there's no shot, you know?
There's
But,
no shot. No, that's true. That's why they do it. I always get a kick out of with the schedule release and counting the number of events at Lake Arrowhead. He's got the father daughter, the mother child, the father son in August. They're playing the on Between the Lakes and the Pines. They're playing the senior four ball on the Pines course. There's a qualifying site for the State Am. You know, between Sand Valley and Lake Arrowhead, I just think it's a great. You can't be any more centrally located for people coming and going from around the state. I know that Jeff has family up there, and he likes to take events there.
Maybe a little partial that way. Yeah,
yeah.
For
sure. Well, I mean, you know, I tell you what, I thought one day, you know, I'm talking to everybody here from Arizona. You're in Florida, and I thought one day I'd retire to Lake Arrowhead. You know, it was just down the road from where I grew up. I just thought it was, you know, the most peaceful place ever. It's kind of become a little less peaceful with all the golfers that come there now between Sand Valley and Lake Arrowhead. But boy, what a great epicenter between the two facilities. And you all seem to work well together.
Yeah. The one thing that I've noticed is prior to Sand Valley really getting off of its feet, more so before COVID, Lake Arrowhead was available to golf. Practically most of the times whenever you wanted to go golf after COVID and after Sand Valley has been getting off on its feet, I've been seeing more and more guys that I'll caddy for that I'll meet up with on the golf course after at Lake Arrowhead, and they'll be playing Lake Arrowhead. And it goes to show with the fact that if I don't book out a couple days in advance anymore, I'm relegated to a 5-6 o'clock tee time, which for me isn't the worst thing in the world. I do like to go out there by myself or, you know, with a buddy and play in that afternoon and just practice a little bit. But yeah, they've definitely benefited both ways in that regard, helping each other, feeding off of each other that way. And yeah, again, with Arrowhead just being kind of the epicenter of the whole state that way, I mean, it's not too far for anybody. And it just, yeah, it's just very accessible for all parts of the state to bring it all of the best golfers together that way.
Yeah.
So
No, and I agree about, you know, that time of day. I know a couple of years ago after the state match play, Daryl and Joe let me sneak out there, and I wound up playing with a couple of the caddies. I don't know who they were, but from Sand Valley, and I mean, and then one of the assistant pros, I think, joined up too with me late in the round. I didn't finish till 9:15, 9:30, and it was still bright enough to see the final hole. And there's nothing better than playing Twilight Golf in central Wisconsin. And, you know, what would that have been? The middle of June, I guess, end of June, you know, when the days are long. And yeah, that's just, to me, it's one thing we don't get out here in Arizona. Before we end, Adam, I mean, you, your schedule, anything beyond the state events that you're looking forward to this year, any of the events that we haven't talked about?
So I'm looking to expand upon my tournaments slightly down here in Florida. I'm frankly a little tired of coming back to Wisconsin and being rusty and having to, you know, not learn the game again, but trying to find my way again, in the springtime. And that's, you know, comes with, you know, some important tournaments early on, being the, you know, the U.S. Open qualifier, among some of them. So I've got a couple on the schedule. Currently I am, accepted to play in the Gasparilla Invitational this year. So that will be held in the middle of February at Paul Macia Country Club. I'm super excited for that. I've seen the roster on that course throughout the years, looking at the previous leaderboards, and there's some good names on that event. So I'm super excited for that. And then I think I'll find some small things to do down here in Florida, whether it be on one of the tournament sites or simply getting out. And I know there's a lot of Monday games that you can find in, whether it's Orlando or Tampa, and you probably even down south even more. But yeah, so definitely opportunity to play golf and keep the game in check that way. And yeah, for sure.
And your caddying, you said before we came on the air at Stream Song, what's the experience doing that there like compared to Sand Valley, and how much fun do you have doing that in the winter months down there?
So the caddying itself is great. Stream Song is another top tier golf resort in the country, similar to Sand Valley in that regard. And the caddying itself is great. Now the time of the year makes it a little more difficult. We don't have as much light in the day to be able to do things outside of that. And String Song's a little surprisingly even more isolated than what Sand Valley is. So the commute is longer. The rounds do end up taking a little bit longer time. And then you couple that with not having as much daylight. It makes harder for pushing yourself and being determined. You really got to push yourself and be determined if you want to go to work and then still find time to work on your game yourself. So that's one of the drawbacks that way. But Stream Song is another fantastic resort in that regards. I love going out there, and whether it be grabbing a 6-hole loop on red or blue, or heading out to the chain, their par three afterwards, and playing golf out there. They offer a fantastic display of, of golf architecture and a lot of the same courses designers that we have at Sand Valley. So the architecture is top notch, and the golf courses are very pure. It's definitely worth a visit if you're in that Florida area and looking to play a premier golf destination.
And the weather's been good so far?
Yeah, weather's been great. I think our low was about 62, the maybe like 4 days ago, 5 days ago, and that's about it. Otherwise, it's been 70s and sunny and a little 80s, couple 80s. But Wisconsin got almost a little too hot. I gotta walk around to these Florida guys that I hang out with, and they got 3 layers on, and I'm in a shortened t-shirt, and
I know.
they're giving me side eyes, like, "What are you doing over here?" But
Right.
yeah.
No, I agree. It's been unseasonable here in Arizona too, and we've avoided most of the rain that has hit California. They're getting pummeled in the LA area. So it'll be interesting to see how that impacts tournament golf once it starts up here on the West Coast swing. But no, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Adam. The schedule release is always fun for the WSGA because I'm sure they get a lot of great reaction from so many of you that play in so many of the tournaments. And I guess as we close, I mean, that's the one thing. It seems like, the tournament season, when you get back to Wisconsin, you see a lot of the same faces every year. But, after not seeing them for, the winter, I'm sure it's fun to reconnect. And that's the part beyond the, the birdies and bogeys that I think maybe might get lost in all of this, is that these tournaments offer a lot of camaraderie as well as competition.
That's a perfect word to use. A camaraderie is basically, yeah, you build relationships with the guys that you've been playing with for years, and those relationships last well beyond the golf course. So yeah, having that opportunity to, meet people that way and build relationships and friendships, is a special part of the community that we've been able to have with the WSGA. So.
Well, that's Adam Miller. I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf here on Wisconsin.Golf.